Chodesh Tov Mevorach Aleph Be'elul Tov Shin Samachay. We're holding today on the bottom of Daf Kuf Kaf Hei Amid Beis. Today's Daf is Kuf Kaf Vav. And we were talking about what the meaning of the Machlokas is in the Mishnah between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim about sealing with this S for a window. So the Mishnah is not very clear, because Rebbe Eliezer says you need two elements in order to allow a sealant for a window. It has to be, first of all, attached, hanging, ready to be placed into place. And it also has to be, actually we say the other way around, it has to be tied. It also has to be hanging. In other words, it won't help if it's tied, but it's lying on the ground. So that the kishur, per se, does not define this piece as belonging in the window if it's lying on the ground. So we need to see it as an actual window covering, hanging in the air, that can now be pressed in or lowered or pressed into the window. Whereas the Chachamim say, well, either way, you could be poking. Now, either way, it's not quite clear. I mean, either way, as long as it's tied, either way, whether it's hanging or not hanging, doesn't matter. Whereas, I mean, either way, even if it's not even tied, you're not hanging. That part is unclear, because either way, I mean, it could mean both of the requirements we can ignore, or one of the requirements we can ignore. And that is the topic of today's opening circuit. What exactly is meant by Bein Kach or Bein Kach? Omre Baba, Omre Kahana. It means all the way, all the way. It means Bein Kashur, Bein Sheino Kashur. Basically, what the Chachamim are saying, by leaving it open in this fashion, what they're saying is, whether it meets your requirements or it doesn't meet your requirements. That's what it's saying. So in other words, it doesn't even have to be kashur. Forget about hanging. It's not attached to the window. It's lying off to the side. It was something that is meant to be used. It's not that you're picking up something mukta. Something that's defined as the window covering. Nonetheless, you can use it even though it isn't in any way kashur to the window. Amalei Reb Yirmiyah, why do you go to this kind of extreme? I mean, because there's every indication that the Chachamim actually did not mean to go to the extreme and to say to ignore all of your criteria, and that it doesn't even require kishur. Koshkin, it doesn't need to be hanging. Because if we analyze a very similar sugya, we'll see that we were careful not to be matir. Even those who argue on Rebbe Eliezer were careful not to be matir a case where it's not kashur at all. And let me tell you where that case is. The Amar Rabba Bar Bachanan Rebbe Yochanan. The machloket that we have here in our sugya about the kaka chalon is actually very similar to the machloket that we have in the Mishnah in Eruvin about a neger hanigrar. Now, a neger hanigrar, we had basically the concept of a neger before, where we talked about a big lustra. So over there we were talking about a plug for a door, something that goes into the bottom of a door. Well, it's like a box, so you know, the type of doors they had, you know, the bottom bolts. And it has on top of it a big enough piece, which is very common on the top of one of the bolts, that it sticks out in one direction, make it easy to use up and down, that you could use it as a cleat. So it actually would be suitable to be a pestle. So you can use it to pound something. There it has a Torat Kli. Over here, apparently it doesn't have a Torat Kli. It's just a neger. It's just basically a piece of wood that has been set up to plug into the hole, which is on the bottom next to the door, and you put it through a little piece.
Like a swivel door they have at restaurants?
No, all doors are swivel doors. You mean you mean pivot on that pivot?
Yeah.
No. I mean, yeah, same thing, but same door like you have on Aronot. You know, where they plug up and down, they can plug. Half of it plugs, the other half locks. You know what I'm talking about. It's very common. You have a little, like in the Aron Kodesh, you have a little thing that opens and closes, holds the door up on top with a little bolt and bottom. Okay, so it's a neger. Now this neger, if it's nigrar, that means that it drags along the ground. So in other words, it is tied to the door, but it's tied in a way that allows it to drag, and it's not completely suspended. So there it says in the Mishnah, Alimbom b'migdash, avolo b'medina. You can use that in the Beit HaMikdash, because in the Beit HaMikdash, generally speaking, although as we already saw, there are cases where we're gozer, even in the Beit HaMikdash, shvut, such as the case that we had at the time in Nehemiah, where it was a desperate situation. Generally speaking, we're not gozer shvut in the Mikdash. And therefore, in the Beit HaMikdash, even though you'd say, hey, I mean, it doesn't look like he's building, and he's plugging up something, and then, hey, okay, fine, looks like no big deal. I mean, in the Beit HaMikdash, we're not concerned with people coming to the wrong kind of understandings of things, but the Medina, outside, in the countryside, you cannot use such a thing because of the fact that it's similar to Binyan, doesn't have now any clear-cut indication on it, because it's dragging any clear-cut indication that it's part of the door. Vahamunach, if it's not even attached to the door, then kan v'kan asur, then it's asur even in the Beit HaMikdash, because then it really is similar to Binyan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, well, no, and it's not truly Binyan. As long as you had it set aside, I mean, the fact that it's not kashur doesn't change anything. So even if it's munach, even if it's set aside on a shelf, and at night you take it off and you close the door with it, lock the door with it, that would still be okay in the Mikdash, because you're still talking about a shvus, an angel for Mikdash. Vahanigrar, when we're talking about to use it in the Medina, it would at least have to be tied. Although it could be dragging. So in other words, what do you see? That Rabbi Yehuda holds, even though he's arguing with the Shita over here that says that it needs to be tied and tabui, he still holds it needs to be tied. Okay. Now, so far that doesn't necessarily prove anything, because maybe the machlokas over there is not Rebbe Eliezer, and therefore doesn't necessarily reflect our mission precisely. Problem is that the Braisa makes it very clear that the machlokas, we have a machlokas about how to define a neger hanigrash. Tanya, ezeo neger hanigrash in olimbo b'mikdash avon lo b'midina. The neger hanigrash is dake kashur, and it's tolui, it's just that Rosho is Magi Alaretz, to greet you. So that it touches the ground, but it itself is both hanging a little bit, the top of it is hanging, and it's also tight. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, not to clarify the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says such a thing where it's hanging is up in Amutar. What is the one that is usher b'medina? Kol she'eino lo kashur v'lo tolui. It's not even tied. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda, who is the one who argues here on the Tanakhama, and we're going to see in a moment that the Tanakhama is Rebbe Eliezer in our mission. It's Rebbe Eliezer who says that it has to be kashur v'tolui. Now, it would seem to be that there are only two shitas. There's Rebbe Eliezer in our mission and the Chachamim in our mission. We'll see that there's Rebbe Eliezer in this mission who requires kosher v'tolui, and there's Rebbe Yehuda who argues Rebbe Eliezer. But even Rebbe Yehuda says that the Ezer Shebedina Asur, which type of neger is Asur in the Medina? Kosheinu lo kashur v'lo tolui. That which is neither tied nor hanging, obviously if it's not tied it can't be hanging. V'shomto, you take it out of the door. U'meneicho v'kanz, you stick it in the corner until you need it to lock the door the next time. And here is the critical problem, because Omer of Yeshua Barava Mishmei Dula Mantana Neger HaNigra Rebbe Eliezer, the man the Yomar in that Mishnah who asks Neger Nigra is the same Rebbe Eliezer who in our Mishnah asks using a Pekaka Chalon unless it's Kesher Kosher of the Tugri. So he's being very consistent. You want to use something in a way which is similar to Binyan, it needs to be clearly part of the way that the building functions. So if it's a pekaka chalon, it needs to be hanging next to the chalon, the way our window coverings are. If it's a neger in the door, it needs to be hanging on the door, connected on some level to the door, and not just put on the ground. Okay, that's fine. What bothers me, and this is the kasha Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking here on the way Rav Kahan explained it, what's bothering me is the fact that Rabbi Yehuda, who argues on the Neger HaNigra, is undoubtedly the Chachamim in our Mishnah who argues on Rebbe Eliezer, because there was Rebbe Eliezer Shita. Now you're claiming, Rav Kahana, that the Chachamim who argue on Rebbe Eliezer in our Mishnah are saying you don't need anything. You don't need that it should be kosher. You don't need it should be tovah. But over here, Rav Yehuda says b'feirush, that by the neger, if it's neither kosher or tolui, you cannot use it. He agrees terribly as he can. It needs to at least be kashur. The only thing I have no objection to, it's not hanging properly. But kashur it needs. You're claiming it doesn't even need to be kashur. So why did you stake a position that is so extreme and doesn't have any basis in the Sugya and Erevin of Negra Negra? Omar Leh says, Rav Kahana to Rav Yirmiyah, you think I didn't think of all of that? Ana the Amriki Haitana, you are assuming that there are only two shitas. There's the shita of Rebbe Eliezer, and there's the shita of Rebbe Yehuda. It happens to be that there's a third shita. And I was following the third shita, and I'm telling you that the Mishnah here is not Rebbe Yehuda arguing with Rebbe Eliezer, it's actually Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel who's being matir, the chalon, the pekaka chalon. And I'll prove to you that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel holds that you can use a pekaka chalon without any indication whatsoever that's connected to the wall. Because here's the case. The Tanya. Kone shehitkino ba'al habayit liyot poter v'noel bo. You have over here a reed, piece of bamboo, that somebody cut down to be used to open and close the door with. Now, bizman shekashur v'talui b'petach, poter v'noel bo. So if it's attached to the doorway, so that, by the way, this bachlok is precisely what the case is over here, whether it means to stick in like we have very often where the doorknob falls out, you know, so you need something to stick in and twist. Somewhere, that's what it's talking about, basically like similar to a key. I'll just learn it's the same as the case of neger, basically, we're just using the word kona. But the idea over here is, really, I mean, it wouldn't matter very much. But because the Tanakhama says over here that it's okay to do so, but only bismancha kashur v'tavui b'petah. So if it's hanging on the door, then you could stick it in and use it to open. But in kashur v'tavui, if it's not attached and hanging on the door, then we have the same problem. We have the negra on the ground, and with the pekaka chalon. Very nice. So far, no big chidushim in the world, but here comes a big chidush. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel omer, what do I care if it's hanging? What do I care if it's attached? Did you set this thing aside to use as a doorknob? That's all you need on Shabbos. Why does it have to be attached? Why does it have to be handy? If it's mitukan, meaning you set it up, mitukan doesn't mean literally you have to do a mice in the service. We saw it, but you don't even need this. So it's mitukan, meaning you are mazmin, the use of this thing for a doorknob, I'm a bishenu kosher. Therefore, your assumption, says Rav Kahana to Rav Yirmiyah, that our Mishnah would have to be talking about a Chachomim who hold that you at least need Kashur, even if you don't need Talui, because you only know of the Sheet of Rebbe Yehuda, was ignorance. There is another Sheet. There is a Sheet of Shimon Gamliel. Our Mishnah, when it says Ben Kachu, Ben Kachu, means I ignore all of your criteria. I don't care what it is, whether it's Kashur, whether it's Talui, whether it's not, makes no difference to me. The only important thing is, this is its purpose, this is what it was set aside for, and Mimela, it's not Muksa, and there's no problem.
Where do we have the hierarchy that if it doesn't need Kashur, it certainly doesn't need Talui?
It can't be Talui if it isn't Kashur. Kashur means that it's tied, and the question Talui is, how high is it tied? Omer Yudah Bar Shilas, Omer Vasi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha Krib Shemin Amaliyah. Indeed, here Rabbi Yochanan is quoted, is paskening that Hazmana is sufficient. You don't need to tie it to the door. You certainly don't need for it to be hanged. Problem is that this is inconsistent with Rabbi Yochanan's general shita. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Achi Vatznan Kol Kisuyei HaKelim Shiyesh Lehem Beit Achiza Nitalim B'Shabbat. If you have the cover of a kli, when it has a handle, then you can use it on Shabbos. And comes along Rav Yochanan and says the rather amazing statement, Om Rav Yira Bashilo, Om Rav Asi, Om Rav Yochanan, V'hu sheyesh toras kli aleihem. This is only in a case where this kisui is in any event a kli. So if it's in any event a kli, you can use it for the equivalent of negra and nigra, basically. You can use it for plugging up something, closing up, carrying it, do whatever you want. But if it doesn't have a separate usage, so then you can't. So now, you just claimed that Rabbi Yochanan said that in a case where you have the equivalent of a negra, you have a koneh. A koneh is not going to be better than kisui hakelim. It's just a reed. You're claiming that Rabbi Yochanan Paskin, according to Shimon Gamaliel, that as long as I set it aside to use, that's fine. And here Rabbi Yochanan says that the only time you can use the cover of a kli is if it serves a function of a kli. Well, certainly a koneh, the alma, doesn't serve a function of a kli. Now, I mean, maybe you'll say, v'chi tema, hachan ami diika teras kli alav. Maybe you'll say, well, you know what kind of koneh we're talking about? The sample-taking koneh that we spoke about in the Mishnah, where it has a pekak on it. So then it's a kli. Maybe that's what kind of koneh you mean. No. Because if Rabbi Yochanan is passing like Rav Shimon Gamliel, the whole point of Rav Shimon Gamliel is that we can effectively ignore the status of a thing vis-a-vis the din of kelim, and the only thing that's important is my setting aside for use. How do we know that? From the classic case of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that we just spoke about, which is where somebody cut branches off of a palm tree. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, well, you don't have to tie them together. You don't have to make them into a seat. You just have to decide before Shabbos you want to use it as a seat. And that's fine. You're going to tell me that a branch of a palm tree is a kli? That's ridiculous. So obviously Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't hold up this business of being a kli. So how can you tell me Rav Yochanan, on the one hand, Paskin's like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and says go right ahead and use this koneh, and then on the other hand, Rav Yochanan is found in the next Mishnah to be paskining that you have to have a teras kli even when something has a pesach hizah. Does that make sense? There's no way that he could say both of those statements. Says the Gemara, well, you're right. There's no way you can make both of those statements the way you are understanding them. Because you're assuming that when he paskined like Rav Shimon Gamliel, he paskined like Rav Shimon Gamliel across the board. And he was saying, not just the case of the koneh, it's correct that it doesn't need to be tied, but also that it doesn't need to be a kli. No, he doesn't go that far. He agrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel that a koneh doesn't need to be tied, but he adds a stipulation that Rav Shimon Gamliel would not add, only, of course, if that koneh also serves a function as a kli. But you can't turn something which is not a kli into a kli simply by hazmana. That not, I don't agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel. So in other words, sova la kavase bechada, upolik alei bechada. Rav Yochanan does agree with the particular case over here, that when something is mitukan, it doesn't require kishur, but he argues with him in Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's shita that you don't need Torah kli. He says, of course you need Torah kli. That's a separate issue, Torah kli. Where did it say what type of koneh it is? I'm agreeing with the din, I'm not agreeing with the case. Dorash Rav Yitzchak Nafcha Pitcha Deresh Galuta Halacha Karabi Eliezer. So here comes on Rav Yitzchak and Paskin like Rav Eliezer that you need kashur vitalui, very chumra psak over here, in order to be able to lock your door with a neg. So masif Rav Amram, or to be pokik your chalon, same asuk, so to be pokik your chalon with a pkaka chalon. Doesn't help. That's only hazmana, basically, as far as the dinim of Shabbos are concerned. Remember that we have over here a chumrah, because what we're talking about over here is something that is used for binyan, you see. This is not the normal case where I decide I'm going to be using something as a kli, because it isn't a kli. It's not a kli. A neger is part of a door, and a door is part of a house, and a house is part of karaka, it's part of binyan. So it doesn't get a din of kelim. That's why we have this additional chumrah over here. something which is part of a door is not considered to be a kli. It's not the same as keli.
Isn't the neger
he, unless the neger had another function, that was the case we had before, where it's yesh barosho glustera. So if yesh barosho glustera, then it's usable as a pounding kli. But like this, it's just part of a binyan. So if I'm going to be using detachable binyan, it's very similar to binyan and stira on Shabbos. There we have this additional form that needs to be clearly defined as something that's always attached to us anyway.
So if my mosquito nets in the cabin, does that come under that?
Yeah, it's the same. The mosquito nets are basically the equivalent of the case that we introduce the sugya with, which is where you have something partially spread, and you're allowed to spread the rest of the way. As long as I had the din already, the shiloh's up here, whether you could be mosi, correct. So it is exactly, the Gemara made it dependent on this machlokas. So this is basically being mosi on a binyan, and it's being mosi in a way that's alright, because I mean to take it in and out. And that's the machlokas in the mission. But according to Rebbe Eliezer, you can't be mosif on a binyan unless you have this visible chibur and taliyah. And indeed, here Rebbe Yitzchak is paskening like this. The only thing is that he's wrong in his psak. Because so that's why your mosquito net would not be a problem. So mosif Rav Amram asked on Rebbe Yitzchak, how could you pasken lechumra like Rebbe Eliezer? If at the end of the Masechta we find a Maisa Shahoya in which this was in the days, the Mishnah says over there, the days of the Ripsodic's father, that they actually used the Tafiach to cover over a window. And it wasn't Karsha Batoli Bechlav. And they did this Halacha L'Maisa. And they also went ahead and they measured the mikveh to see whether it was kosher, a number of different things that we learned about halacha lemaisa. And it says there, umidireyam lamadnu, from what took place over there, we can now absolutely see that you can be pokeh, which is our case, umodadin, bekoshrin, even lechatchila, keshashaina shokayom, obviously, b'shabbos. So how can you paskin? Like Rebbe Eliezer, says it by, what's the kasha? Excuse me. What's the kasha? How can you pass it? What? Because the Mishnah over there in the end is it's a Stam Mishnah. So my daita, Mishum Diktoni Stama. It just says Midivreyam Labadu, which is Mashma, that this is the way Rabbeinu HaKadosh was Kaveh in the Mishnah. The case of Neger on Yegor is also a Stam Mishnah, my friend. And over there it's Lachumra. So, I mean, the fact that he was paskening like the missionary is certainly a reasonable thing when you can ask Kasha on him. How could you pasken Lechumra? Doesn't say Rebbe Eliezer Omer. It says Negra and Negra is Osir B'Menina. They just have reviewed it. It's coming to argue. He answers the Gemara. No, what Abaye was asking on him was the fact that it was a Maisa. And that, of course, we have our Klal. Afilu Hachi Ma'aseh Rav. The greatest teacher in the Torah is the fact of a psak halacha l'maisa. I mean, it's theoretical. If halacha l'maisa, they were ready to go ahead and be makel, what are you coming along now to say halacha is like Rebbe Eliezer? It's the bottom line application of the halacha, and this is the way they applied it to kula. So then that means that's what you follow. And if you have the cover of a kli that has a handle on it, then it can be nito b'Shabbos. Om Rav Yossi b'amer dvarim amur b'kisei karka. Oh, now wait a second. Why do you need a handle on this thing? Something is the cover of a kli, you need a handle? If you're talking about a manhole cover, you know, so over there you're dealing with a binyan. A manhole cover, yes, it's a kisei of karka. So over there, if it doesn't have a handle to make it clear that it's meant to be open and closed all the time, so then inochinami, it's muktzah. Abba Bekisi Akalim? If I just would, I have a pot cover. So if I don't have a handle and I have to pick it up from the edge, it's mukta. Why would it be mukta? Benkaku Benkaku, you tell them, Bishop. If it's my pot cover, I don't have to worry about it. So we'll see that Lamaisa, in the Gemara, it's going to become clear to us that nobody is arguing about what they appear to be arguing about. Everybody's moda, a manhole cover requires a handle. Everybody's moda, a pot does not require a handle. And the machlokas is particularly, as we saw earlier, about those type of kalim that are connected to the ground. So you have your tanur that's connected to the ground. Is that a din of the ground? Is that a din of the ground? Or you sink something into the ground as a well, sort of to keep it insulated, to keep it cool in the summer, whatever. But certainly there's no machlokas about whether you need to have an indication that a pot cover is a pot cover is a pot cover. That was not the issue. But what is strange is that this is where Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda bar Shimon Rav Asi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu sheyesh Torat kli aleihem. This is only if they have a Torat kli. Now, Rashi seems to learn, sheyesh Torat kli, that the coverings that we're talking about are coverings that serve some other purpose besides the pot cover, and therefore, like the case of the glustra, and therefore, even if it's not clear that they're a pot cover because they don't have a handle, who cares? It's clear that they are a kli. Tosa says that's absurd. I mean, what could be a better kli than a pot cover? Why should the pot cover require some other service? I mean, this was the classic use that we were going to use of a broken piece of glass. If I can use it to cover a perfume bottle, that's okay. So you're telling me if it's the real cover of the perfume bottle, it's not okay. It has to serve some other purpose. It's crazy. Therefore, it's got to be, and we're talking about, that it isn't really the pot cover. What happened over here is a guy took a piece of shard to use it as a pot cover. So it's saying whatever he took, if it has a teras kli on it, so that, meaning that you were miyakin it as the pot cover, that makes it a teras kli. But now that needs to be a teras kli for some other service, rather than covering a pot, that's unnecessary. The Gra rejects all of this, and he learns that the case of where it says Mishish teras kli alein is only referring to the case of the kisur karkaot anyway. And it's a reference to the end of the Mishnah. To Rabbi Yossi, it's not a reference to the beginning of the Mishnah, which we often find in Shas. We have a comment afterwards that's a reference. We'll ask, was he going on the Reisha? Was he going on the Sefer? He's going on the Sefer. So over there, what he's saying is, if you have something, by the way, this comes up all the time. Where does it come up? In those little covers for the water drains in Israeli homes. Where you have that plastic thing, does not have a holder on a cup, besachis on it. Has no handle. It's a heck of a mess to get it off. You know, usually poking in there with a screwdriver to get it off. And the shaila is, can you open it on Shabbos?
With a drain cover?
Yeah, you know, there's little plastic covers that fit into the hole. They used to be the copper covers that you twisted. You know,
right.
You know, a long time ago. Now they're plastic. But that would be precisely this case. Right? So you can't open it according to this. It doesn't serve some other kli. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't have a beis achiza. Although there are some modern poskim who want to be matir it if it's always used. I mean, you open it up every single time you wash the floor. So then it's already considered a bit. But it's a very shvach hetter. I mean, the pashas of the sugya is that something that's mechubar to a binyan, mechubar to the karka, needs bedavka these requirements. If we pass them like Rabbi Yochanan,
Shesh Teres Kli. And the handle is to show you can take it out, or the handle is to show it's separate?
Yeah, the handle is to show that it's not part of the building.
Even though it is part of the building, but it's removable.
Right, it's removable and meant to be constantly open and closed. It becomes the equivalent of our pekaka halon kind of thing, which is hanging. Okay.
Little ring that goes on
there
that you lift up.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen one like that. But in your house, I know that we're talking about honest Abe and, you know, the absolutely clear accountant and lawyer. But I never even seen one of those things. Did you have it specially manufactured? No. It was just one of these Bishvili Nivraimon things.
Yeah.
All right. Could you get one from your universe and have it maybe sent in sent it to mine?
Thank you a whole bunch.
I wouldn't mind finding one like that.
Two step on it.
Bronze or aluminum?
Two step on it. Bronze.
I got to come in and see it. I've literally never seen anything like
that. Your drain is stuck on Shabbos, and it's overflowing what you do.
Yeah, you can't open it.
The house is being flooded.
What do you do when you open it? You got to then stick a thing in and unblock the drain, so we're good to open it.
Oh, no, that's... sometimes it's just have stuff in there. You don't need to unblock it.
You can take it... Could you take it out?
Yeah, it's just a collector.
Right, so you can take it out.
Possibly. I mean, Shabbos, whether that's Mikatzeh, it'd be a dining. It would have to be something you do all the time. So here...
Usually one has a brain stuck in on a Friday night.
That's true. It's amazing. Absolutely astonishing the way they wait. And it doesn't matter. I try leaving the wrong day on the calendar. Somehow they know. So now, the Kuliyama, Kisui Karkaot, Yimieshlen Beit Achizayini Ilolo. Let's clarify the machlokas over here. Both Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim are Moda, that if you're talking about a manhole cover, it's got to have a clear Beit Achizah. If not, you're not allowed to. If it's literally a pot cover, it's Kisui Akeli. So what do I need a Beit Achizah for? Afagav de Einlem Beit Achizah. The machlokas is only in a case, ki pligi bekelim de chavrinu biara, you started off with a kli, and I connected the kli to the ground, and the question is, whether we view this kli now as part of the binyan, we view this kli as a kli. So marsa v'gazrinu, no marsa v'lo gazrinu, that's all. Or, there's a simple way of learning it, which is the lishna achrina, that this is a direct continuation to the sugya that we had earlier about kisui, Hatanur. Did you ask your wife, by the way? You didn't have the guts to ask your wife, did you? I knew it. What do we need a cover to our ovens for? So, ki plige bekisui tanur. So what we're arguing about, indeed, is specifically that case. A tanur is a type of kli, which is functional because of its chibur to the karka. And therefore, one madiyamot, that makes it karka for all intents and purposes. So, mar medamila the kisei karka, mar medamila the kisei kelim.
How's it different from the second one? Says only a tanur, not anything else.
Right, because it's functional. Like this, it's accidental. It's interesting that my grandfather's outside, Paskin, and unfortunately he's not responding to his emails, but but he Paskin, I've been wanting to ask him for this gemara. And in his lifetime, never got the opportunity. But he passed a very interesting psak that you do not require tefillah on any of the electrical kelim, like percolators and so on, which drive people nuts. How do we do the tefillah? How do you do tefillah on an electric percolator? All of these types of machines, sandwich makers, whatever. So how do you do tefillah on them? He said, you don't need tefillah. Because since the only usage of this thing is when it's plugged into the chashmal, that means that it doesn't have a shem of a kli, because it only works as a mechubar lekarka. And so, really, it was a genius.
It's grounded. Now that it's on the internet,
on
electric lines, too, so you can make a fortune off of that.
Now that Shaila is... Yeah, that would be a problem. So now the Shaila is, though, but according to this, if Lamaisa has a Shemesh Kli, so even though you're Mechaber to the Karka, that's viewed as accidental, but he tined that the Nekud is that it doesn't work without it. Mm-hmm. But you can't call it a meaningful Kli. The whole point of the Kli is a percolator. You can say so it works without Kibbutz Karka, but it doesn't work with a percolator without Kibbutz Karka. So there you can see it's not accidental that I was Mechaber. The problem is the Tanur.
But this is battery operated.
Yeah.
Should be like the
Tanner. Should be like the Tanner. Hadron aloch kol hakelim. Mifanim afilo arba v'chamesh kupot shoteven v'shotua mipnei ha'orchim u'mipnei bitul beit ha-midrash. One of the secondary issues of Tiltol on Shabbos, we started off with Hotzah. We went on to Mukta, which we saw is sort of a function of Hotzah. There's a third issue that's involved, which is called Tircha. Simply moving things about on Shabbos is a Tircha, and we try to avoid that unless it's a Tzorach Mitzvah. So to move around a lot of big containers is something we normally wouldn't do, Nonetheless, you can move even four or five large containers of Tevin and Tevuah. And even if you would say that this Tevin and Tevuah may be perhaps set aside and I wasn't planning on using it, but this is really, if I need its place, it's Tzarech L'Mekomo. We'll see later on what the elements of Muktzah involved are. And if I have guests that are coming, or if I have a lot of extra Talmidim that showed up to the Drosha, and now they don't have anywhere to sit, maybe Tul Beit HaMidrash, Aval Lo Et HaOtzar. I cannot clear out. We'll see in the Gemara there's going to be a number of different ways of learning it, but in the end everybody agrees certainly to the Yesod. I cannot clear out an entire area, because if I do that, I'll probably sweep it out. And if I sweep it out, I'll come Lashwi and Gumas. There may be an additional explanation of Lo Et HaOtzar, according to Mandi Omar, that it's addressing Mukta. And it would mean, not if these things were put away in a storage room and not meant to be moved at all, because then you were Mekatzei Ala Biyadayim, and then you enter into the problem of Mukta, not only Kiruvah. But that, of course, would mean that the mission would be going like Rabbi Yehuda and not like Rabbi Shimon. That's not so clear. Mifanim Truma Tahora. Now, as far as what you can move, I mean, you can move any type of foodstuff that is usable on Shabbos, even though it may not be usable by you, but it's Truma Tahora, so certainly a Kohen could eat it. And you can even move around to Mai. You say, well, how can I move around to Mai? I'm not allowed to take off Trumas and Maizras. Yes, but an Oni can eat to Mai. And every person is just a statement away of becoming an Oni. And therefore, it's even Roy for you. And Maaser Rishon Shenit Latrumato. Now, we know already the secret of this Mishnah, don't we? We've read it so many times. That when it says Maaser Rishon Shenit Latrumato, which so obviously, why not? It's talking about that it was only Nito the Trumas Meiser, wasn't Nito the Truma Gedela, and it's talking about that the Levi got it early while it was still the Shibolim, and never became Chayev in Truma Gedela. And then we have a Pasuk that says that you can take off only one Truma from it. So not Trumat Maser and Truma Gedela, just Trumat Maser. On the other hand, once it already was put into a Kri and it became Chayev in Truma Gedela, you can't avoid taking off the Truma Gedela.
It's still Tevel.
No, therefore it's not Tevel, and that's why you can move it. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. That Maaser Rishon Shenitla Trumato, only the Trumat Maaser, it's nonetheless, if it was Bishibolim, was taken by the Levi Bishibolim, that's perfectly okay, and it's not considered to be Muksa. Or Maaser Sheni V'Hekdesh Niftu. And again, we know the secret of this Mishnah. It means it was Niftu, but you never paid the Chomesh. And that's the Chiddush. HaTurmus HaYavesh, and you can even move around turmasim that are dry, which are just awful, you couldn't eat them. But, your goat could eat it, so therefore, since it's Ma'achal Le'izim, you're allowed to move it. Avalot HaTeva, Avalot Maaser Rishon Shalonit LaTrumato, Velod Maaser Sheni V'Hekdesh Shalon Yivdu. All of this is obvious. And again, you'll remember the secret of the Mishnah is, it was Niftu, but on an Asimon, instead of on a coin, and so on. All right. Or the cases before where it was talking about Sheniftu is where you didn't pay the Chomesh. Veloet Haluf, Veloet Achardal, and since you cannot be Mitaken Luf, which is very sharp, it's a kind of oniony type of thing, or Chardal on Shabbos, you can't move them around because the animals won't eat them either. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, well, wait a minute. If you happen to be one of these really fancy guys that lives in a castle and you train crows, you know, and I mean, it's considered to be a high-class activity, so you could always feed your crow, Luke. And, of course, this is based on a sheet of that Kol Yisrael or B'nai Malachim. So we're all very high-class people. We're just a little bit off color for the moment. So basically, we're always waiting to train our crows.
Maybe it's because Faisho are very green type of
thing. Let's try feeding David some and see what
happens. Is this
for the expression
eating crow?
Mm-hmm. Chavilei kash, v'chavilei yetzim, v'chavilei zradim. Zradim are basically yetzim, but they're thin, thin little twigs. So imit kinu l'ma'achal be'ima, if you set them aside specifically for animal usage, so then metatalinotam. Whereas normally, if you didn't, the assumption would be that they're used for firewood. Im lav, im metatalinotam. Now ask the Gemara, when you say you can move even four or five kupot, when we're talking about a Mishnah, what do you mean four or five? You can move five. Generally speaking, you can move four. So why doesn't it just say you can move up to five kupot? What's the meaning of four or five kupot? Hashta chamesh b'fanim, arba miboy, omrev chista. Ah, the point here is that you could move four out of five. Or you could move even five if you've got a very large otsar, so then you could move a maximum of five. If you've got less than that, you're always going to have to leave it, because we don't want you finishing a room, cleaning out a room, because of our old Ashvuye Gumas problem, if we're going to sweep it out. But that's what's coming to tell me. So then, wait a second, hold on. So then, why does it add avaloat otsar? If you're telling me you can only take out a maximum of four out of five, and you're already telling me you got a problem with Ashvuye Gumas, so then what's the point of saying Lo Ato Otsar? And I thought the meaning of Lo Ato Otsar was because of Ashvuye Gumas. You can't clear out the whole Otsar. How are you going to learn that? Ah, that means something else completely. Lo Ato Otsar means that if you set aside these bushels of grain not to be used at your table, you've packed them up now in an area which is locked up, so if you never started removing things from this storage area, then it's muktzah. You can't clear it out today. If you started moving it, then there's only a problem of tircha, then you can move it out on Shabbos because it's not muktzah. And that would mean that the Mishnah is going to Rav Yehuda, who holds of muktzah.
But the otsar was already started.
It was already started. That's what it means. Avalot otsar, don't start an otsar. Okay. Now there's another approach, which I mentioned when we learned the Mishnah, the Shmuel Amar. When it says Arba, it means, am I stopping such a daikon, four or five? You never said to somebody four or five.
When you mean six or seven?
Well, yeah, it depends what you're borrowing. So you say, give me four or five. And so I mean, give me a four or five. Can you amri inchi, the way people talk, that's all. So obviously, if you need more, I mean six or seven, you know. So that's the pshat. In other words, whatever you need. And then the meaning would be, so afilo tuvan, I mean, fine. It means you can move as many as you need, as long as, avalot otsar, shalei markula, don't complete taking everything out of a room. Why? Diomati la shvei gumot. Because of our fear that you're going to sweep it out. Avalot chule matzri. You could certainly start an otsar that was never touched before, because setting something aside doesn't turn it into muktzah, according to Rabbi Shimon. Umani Rabbi Shimon, the lechlei muktzah. We don't have a problem of muktzah in our mission at all. We only have a problem of tircha. And therefore, the issue over here is either tircha or ashvuye gumas, not to complete it as a whole.
According to Shmuel, it could be a lot more than four or five.
Yeah, as much as you need. We're just saying, look, take it easy. In other words, do whatever you absolutely need. Because we're talking about tircha, we don't want a tircha shena tricha. So you take what you need. Four, you need four, you need five. That's why I say it that way. I mean, it's not just, I'm not throwing the words out. It's whatever you need. Don't just mafriz alamidat, say, well, you never know, take out more. Since we're talking about tircha, take out four when you need four and five when you need five. Excellent. What do you think about that?
And actually,
we managed to keep it to under 45 minutes, which is what we were trying to do. And I've told you, nobody hates you. They're actually happy. He called yesterday to complain that I mentioned the South African contingent is upset about this. Everybody's going to hate me. Does anybody hate Naftali?
No.
Actually, it's better.